He also had bronze greaves on his legs and the bronze javelin slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. So this baby must have been thick, right? And the head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. Now again, I'm just guessing that this was pretty heavy. Okay, the head of the spear. His shield carrier also walked before him. So he had to have a carrier to bring some of this stuff with him because it was just so heavy, okay? I mean, not that he couldn't handle it himself, but I'm sure he was saving his strength until the actual moment of battle. So I guess like you had the knights who used to have their squires bring their some of their things with them. This person must have had, Goliath must have had someone help assisting him with some of this equipment. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, "Why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine and you servants of Saul?" In other words, he's being pretty insulting here. You guys, you're serving this wimp, Saul. I'm Goliath. I'm the Philistine. See, I'm the mighty champion. And you guys are servants of Saul. Why are you coming out here in battle? You're not even worth being on the same battlefield with us. Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. And then you can imagine, you know, his voice dripping with sarcasm. Okay, if he thinks he can kill me, then we'll become your servants, right? But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us. And my understanding historically is that some contests were in fact decided this way in ancient times. That you'd have the mightiest warrior from either side who would decide the battle. And because the implication was that if that warrior won the battle, then it was done on, it was given, granted to him because by his mighty one. So therefore, it was a representation of the mighty one giving victory to one side over the other, and therefore the rest of the people would not fight because you knew you would not prevail. And that's kind of the thinking behind it. And some of you remember reading the account of Achilles and Hector in the Iliad. During the Trojan War, had a similar situation, Achilles being the warrior for the Greeks and Hector being the warrior for the Trojans. Yeah, this is battle between two warriors there. So this is a similar type of situation. In verse 10, again the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So you have this terrible challenge and this mockery coming from the Philistines. Now enter David. Verse 12. Now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons. And Jesse was old in the days of Saul, advanced in years among men. The 3 older sons of Jesse had gone after Saul to the battle. So 3 of them were already soldiers. You know, in Israel today, every young person, male and female, serves in the Israeli army. I don't know if you're aware of that, but each one has to serve, if I'm not mistaken, a period of 2 years in the army. And then, because every citizen is considered to be in the forefront of the war that they have among the nations around them. But in this day, of course, it was just the men. And 3 of those sons of Jesse were already in the army in the battle. And the names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and the second to him, Abinadab, and the third, Shammah. David was the youngest. Now the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's flock at Bethlehem. If you remember, David was being used at the court of the king to assist in with the problem that Saul was having because of this spirit, this evil spirit that Yahweh had put upon Saul. But David was going back and forth. He was doing intermittent service. He was not there all the time, but he would go back and forth. Now let's stop there for just a second, and let's go back to chapter 16. I'd like to take a look at the anointing of David, and we'll go through it fairly quickly here. 1 Samuel 16, just the chapter before. Now Yahweh said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons." By this time, of course, Saul had disappointed Yahweh to the point where Yahweh knew that he could no longer use Saul in his service as king. You know, Saul started out as a very humble man. You know, there was a situation where he could have done a lot of good for Yahweh. But he his heart turned. He had been a good man. And I will, well, we'll hold off on the comments just a minute. Let's continue verse 2. But Samuel said, how can I go? When Saul hears of it, he will kill me. And Yahweh said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to Yahweh. You shall invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I designate to you. So Samuel did what Yahweh said and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the city came trembling to meet him and said, do you come in peace? You know, if you saw the prophet coming your way, you know, that might be a very serious thing, because this was the judge. And Samuel operated on a circuit where he would go from place to place. It took him some time to get from place to place. So if you saw the prophet coming into your town, you know that this was a serious matter.